Alan for breakfast catch up on Triple M.
Danielle on the line from Sou'wester Gin. How are ya?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm pretty excited. Talk me through it first off. Congratulations on this award. A bronze medal for a Tasting Australia Spirits Award. What does that mean? Because that seems like a mouthful of an award.
It was the first time these awards had been held over in Adelaide, and over 60 distilleries there are over in Australia entered their spirits into different categories. I entered my gin, which is in the barrel aged gin category, and yeah, it came up with a bronze medal.
That's pretty cool. A gin in the Margaret River getting the acknowledgement right across the country.
Yeah, because I only launched the gin 3 or 4 months ago. So this is the first competition that I've entered into, and I just wanted to see how it went. And when I knew that Bill Lark from Lark Distillery was one of the judges, I thought it'd be great to see what he thinks and to get the feedback. So to win a medal alongside Four Pillars Distillery and Kangaroo Island, I'm pretty happy with the result.
So you kind of entered not really to win, but just to kind of get some good feedback with all these great judges.
Yeah, that's right.
And then you get a win. That's a pretty good surprise.
Yeah. And, you know, because there's some amazing spirits coming out of Australia. So it's nice to be recognised along some, because when I started on the journey of making spirits, I really am a huge fan of Four Pillars, and they were a benchmark for me. Mm-hmm. So it's really nice to be recognised alongside them.
Absolutely. What makes your gin so good?
What makes it so good? That's a good question. Okay, well, I've been in the Margaret River region for about 10 years, and my background is I'm a food and wine journalist. So I wrote a book on the region a few years ago called Beyond the Farm Gate, and when I was writing that, I discovered these botanicals, native finger limes and old man saltbush. And I started thinking, what could I do with those botanicals to create something that was true to the Sou'wester region? And when I was writing an article on Fraser Gallop Winery's Ice Press Chardonnay, I thought, oh, maybe I could make a gin, use those botanicals and age it in those barrels. So it would pay homage to the Margaret River wine region and the local producers. And that's how my journey began.
That's pretty cool, because that's like a Margaret River taste that you can't get anywhere else. That's awesome.
Yeah, and my barrel room's in Preverley, so I'm right on the coast, literally. The dunes are at my doorstep. And so I just open up the barrel room and try and get the more of a coastal influence in the barrels, because I've also got a single malt whiskey in the other Ice Press Chardonnay barrel, and that's ready next year for release.
And I understand, on top of everything else of those local flavours, you've also got it, what, 6 times distilled, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I use the local Sou'wester rainwater, and what I've done is individually distilled each botanical, and then so that was 4 distillations, and then I created the blend, and I pulled in a team of Margaret River winemakers to be my blind tasting panel, and once I'd decided on that final blend, I did one more distillation. So, yeah, 6 times distilled at the end, so it really was a labour of love. Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty cool. If people want to come and taste it, how's the best way to do that?
Well, you can check my website for Stockists, but it's available all throughout Perth and the Sou'wester, and I've just started selling it on the East Coast. So it's quite well supported throughout the whole Sou'wester region.
And if people want to find out more information, what actually was that website?
It's sou'westerspirits.com.
Perfect. Well, thank you for the chat today, and congratulations once again.
Thank you.
I went to the movies over the weekend, and I saw the movie Avengers, the new one for that. And there's like 20 minutes of like trailers and ads and all that sort of stuff. And one of the ads that appeared was Maltesers. Now, this ad's been running for about 4 years now. It's the one, there's two women, they're working at some kind of jewelry store. They put the Malteser down. A fan blows the Malteser to the other girl, then she eats it because of the distance that it travels. To which, sitting there in the movie cinema, and I know that I was about to see some CGI things set in space, but I still didn't really believe the whole concept that a Malteser could float across the counter.
Seen it many times. It's a much-loved ad. You're going to break down people's misconceptions about what Maltesers can and can't do well.
Well, all I want to say is that I just want to call BS on it.
Okay.
But I don't want to call that from a wrong place.
You want to test the theory.
Well, that's why. We have a fan set up here this morning. We're going to test it out to see if a Malteser can truly be blown across the table.
It's not exactly an industrial sort of fan is it? It's quite...
Theirs wasn't. Theirs was a normal kind of fan.
Pay that. Good call.
So I'm just going to... I've got the Maltesers right here.
Of course, you also do.
At the end of the ad, it says the lighter way to enjoy chocolate. Yes. So the gimmick is whole, like, you know, that you can... All right, I've got a Malteser here. It's not the most... I wonder if there's one that's more kind of... Oh, that one looks a bit more circular compared to that one's a bit... Anyway. All right, so I'm going to put the Malteser down now in front of the fan.
Right, here we go. Malteser in front of fan. Fan's not on yet. It's there. It's ready to go.
All right. Yep. So there is a risk. If this doesn't work out, Malteser could get on the phone and have a go.
Right.
But if this does work out...
You're willing to tackle the mighty power that Maltesers has behind them?
All right. I'm going to turn the fan on. I'll turn it to the highest setting. We have two settings, and I'll turn it to that highest setting.
Righto.
All right, here we go. You ready? I'm going to move my mic a bit.
Blow me away.
I'm going to move my mic. All right.
Blow me away with Malteser.
Three, two, one.
Come on, fella. Come at me. Let's go. Mate, that Malteser's not going anywhere.
That fan is on.
Look at that.
I'll move it closer. I moved it right next to it. That Malteser, I'll move it. I'm going to move it again. What?
Mate, that is the tiniest fan I've ever seen. A hamster in a wheel could make more energy than that.
Well, maybe if I do it like this, I can move it like this. All right, if I jam the fan pretty much right next to the Malteser, it works, and that is the only way that is working.
Yeah.
Debunked.
Debunked. Maltesers, they'll call you. They'll call you, Al.
You heard it here first on Triple M. Malteser fan thing doesn't work. Sorry,
we can't have these Maltesers getting fisty on the floor, mate. I better eat them.
Annetta on the line from Consumer Protection. Good morning.
Good morning.
Today we're going to talk about the Western Union. There was a scam a while back, and it looks like they finally agree to do a payout, and time's running out if you want to receive that payout if you happen to be one of the many people that were scammed.
Yes, this is an interesting one. The Department of Justice in the US has entered into an agreement with Western Union that they're going to repay $586 million, that is,
wow,
to scam victims. And it covers the period that money was sent to scammers through Western Union between the 1st of January 2004 and the 19th of January 2017.
Yeah,
so if you fall within that period and you lost money to scammers using Western Union, you might be able to apply to the Department of Justice through their official website. Obviously, don't respond to any unsolicited emails about this, but you may be able to make claims in relation to money that you might have lost.
So when do they have to do that?
So the submissions close on 31st of May, and you need to do that directly through the US Department of Justice website. If you were involved in any scams that were online or internet scams, so you didn't receive items you tried to buy online, any lottery or prize promotion scams, so you're told you won a lottery or sweepstake but never got the prize, the emergency or grandparent scam, so you sent money to someone pretending to be a relative or friend in urgent need, any advance fee loan scams, and any online dating or romance scams are covered by this.
Wow, okay.
But you can go to the Department of Justice website and submit a claim, or you can submit a claim on the US Federal Trade Commission website as well.
Excellent. I assume if people have any questions and queries, they can always hit you guys up as well.
Definitely. We can always give them advice on this, but this is action that was taken in the US, so it's not something that Consumer Protection WA can assist people in making claims on their behalf. You'll need to do it through the official websites there. But it's good news because rarely do scam victims have the opportunity to get their money back.
Yeah, absolutely. Annetta, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Illegal tours being operated in the southwest in regards to wineries and chocolate, cheese, all that sort of stuff, done illegally. I had no idea this was even a thing.
Given how big tourism is in our part of the world, yeah, we didn't realise that either, and it's certainly something we should be talking about.
It appears the Department of Transport has vowed to crack down on these unregistered tour operators in the region by paying passengers on winery and brewery tours. The way they plan to do that is, I guess, hunt.
It's a very PC age that we live in as well. If someone hurts themselves on one of those tours, what an absolute public liability nightmare that would be.
Absolutely. And not just that, but you've got to imagine that the face of tourism is something that we're trying to keep, you know, looking very good. We want the right people doing the right tours.
Right now it is, yeah.
Yeah, and we don't want people that are doing a bad job with these tours. And if you're not registered, then you're almost unaccountable, aren't you?
Yep, taking the mickey.
When I first heard the story, I thought it was something out of Bali or Thailand. You hear about these operators all the time and how, like, you know, something can happen. They don't have any insurance and a lot of people in trouble about it. The fact it's happening right here in the southwest is a travesty.
Well, even if they're providing an average service, Alan, they've got to be advertising it somewhere. whether that's on Facebook or in the paper or whatever, surely that's how you catch them.
Yeah, absolutely.
They've got to be, you know, proclaiming that they're in business somewhere. That's how we'll catch them.
Absolutely. That's a good call. 13-27-10, we are asking for people's thoughts. I've got Greg on the line, who's actually a tour operator out of Bridgetown. Greg, mate, what is the latest on these illegal tour operators?
Well, we had a Bus WA meeting in Busselton on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the concerns raised mostly by... There were three big operators there from Margaret River who are tour and charter operators, and they were all voicing concerns about illegal operators.
Mm-hmm.
There were representatives there from Department of Transport who spoke to us, and they are greatly concerned about it because these operators, in some cases, they're unsure whether the buses are even registered.
Yeah.
Our buses and coaches all have to have a DOT inspection once a year.
Mm-hmm.
These buses obviously aren't getting inspected. One of the operators cited a bus that he saw with the wire sticking out of one of the tyres.
Oh, geez.
You know, and the biggest concern was about safety.
Yeah.
That these are shonky operators. They find an old bus somewhere and they think they can make a quid, so they just put an ad on Facebook or Instagram, or I don't know, whatever, they put it on. And people quite often have a bad experience because they've got no knowledge about tourism as such.
Yeah.
They take people to the wineries, they dump them off and say, come back to the bus in half an hour.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's not how it is, because I've been on a couple of tours around the Margaret River and whatnot, and normally it's very professional service. You walk in with the group, you kind of do a little bit of a lowdown before we walk in. It's really, really professional. How many of these illegal tour operators do you think are in the Southwest right now?
I don't think it's a big number, but it's enough for the department to be taking it very seriously.
Mm.
There's quite a large fine for the driver and the operator, and if they are one and the same, then there's quite a big fine on them, and so it should be.
Absolutely.
You know, I have a sticker on the windscreen of my bus that says I pay to be a charter operator, and that entitles me to do so, but I actually pay for it. They don't.
Yeah, no, completely. Couldn't agree more, mate. Producer Aaron with me as well right now. How are you feeling, mate?
Always good, mate.
You feeling confident?
Oh, semi, I guess, yeah, sure.
It's time for an intervention, mate. It's just you and me in this room, and it's time to address the elephant that is also in this room.
You and I in this room live throughout the Southwest, yeah.
Mate, your desktop on your computer is abysmal. I am not one to judge normally. Normally, I sit back and I let people do their thing.
Yes, you are.
Maybe I do judge, but in this particular way, I am judging absolutely. Your computer looks like it has a virus. I put a picture up on our Instagram and our Facebook page of your desktop. Had to make sure there's nothing personal on there as well before I took that photo.
Did you use my login when you did that?
No, you already had it logged in, left up. I walked past it. It caught my eye.
The same night that I haven't logged out. Ever the opportunist.
It was almost like the same way you would see someone dying on the street. You can't help but look and you want to help. And that's what I'm here to do, mate. I'm here to help.
Justify it whoever you like.
I just want to read some of the comments that people have actually posted this. So the picture, obviously, of your desktop and all the...
Oh, it's
tons
cluttered.
Of files
it's cluttered.
Over it.
It's cluttered.
One person wrote, hold him down and deal with it. That's a travesty.
If you can pin me down long enough, you're welcome to try.
One person wrote, Jesus, take the wheel. Phil wrote, please let me come and rename and shift everything. Someone wrote, oh, Aaron. Another person wrote, my eye started twitching just seeing this. And the comments go on, mate.
Yeah, it's good.
I said to some people, to defend you just even a little bit.
Oh, really? You're worried about defending me at this
just
point?
Just a little bit, I said, you probably know where everything is.
Oh, yeah.
Is it organized chaos or is it just chaos?
Of course it's organized chaos.
Well, it needs to be neater. Or I'm going to get a written warning sorted out.
While you were there, you're going to flex your power and get a written
warning
sorted
out. I don't have much power here, but I do have the power to, I don't know, I'll take that computer away from you.
You haven't asked me what all the things on the desktop are.
They're all about me, I noticed. They're all like about the show.
Oh, you looked at it long enough, they're all MP3s. It's all audio. It's all the useless crap that you say in a week, and I haven't filed it away at the end of the week.
Well, I'd like that filed away. It's very precious.
Hence, it's very cluttered.
Yes, well... Yes, if you could deal with that by the end of the day, you'll make a lot of people happier.
Whatever,
and I'll upload
mate.
A photo maybe like, don't whatever me.
I'm whatevering you.
You're like a little child. I love it. Hey,
that's
next
a bit rich
up.
Coming
next
from you, Alan.